Revelation, the very name of it, is the revealing. It is the revelation that God gave him, speaking of Jesus, to give to his servants. So, when you ever hear in the old Latin word for it, would be apocalypsis. So, when you hear somebody saying, well, this is like apocalyptic proportions, it's amazing to me. They always think of disasters, or they try to make it seem like, but it's a revelation of him. We started out 2 weeks ago. I was in Revelation chapter 8. I missed last week because I was in southern Idaho. I had a little memorial service that I had to do. I'll get into that a little later. Let's go through a review here. When he'd opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. There were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. And they were thrown into the sea, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and suddenly, like a great mountain burning with fire, something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and of the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpets of the three angels who are about to sound." It's a heavy scene. We've gone through the seven seals. The first six seals we went through, and we thought that we were going to get the finality. But instead of continuing on with the seal, in the seventh chapter, God gave John another vision of what was going on the earth. He was going to seal 144,000 that would not be touched by the plagues. I think that God was showing him that he was in control, that it wasn't just a happenstance thing, it wasn't just a blanket judgment that was happening, but it was a specific judgment that was coming against specific things on the earth. Then in chapter 8, we saw the seventh seal open. And what was the seal all about anyway? Only Jesus was able to open the seal. We don't know exactly what it was, but it seems to have something to do with the culmination of human history. Jesus is the only one that could bring everything to an end, resolve all things. Finally, the seventh seal is about to open. We've gone through all this devastation. We've gone through the four horsemen. We've gone through the stillness of no wind. We've gone through a fourth of mankind being destroyed. And then there's a calm. And there's a calm in heaven when that seal is opened. It's kind of like the breath before the storm hits again. In verse 1 of chapter 8, and we went through this last time, it says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. proving that there's no politicians in heaven. Oh, no, sorry. The humor from this pulpit is not necessarily a reflection of the pastor of this pulpit or the management thereof. Okay? But I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and given seven trumpets. John is watching this. In verse 5 it says, and an angel took a censer filled with fire from the altar. And we went through all of these different analogies of what these things were about, the prayers of the saints, the incense of the altar. The angel took the incense filled with fire from the altar and threw it to the earth, and there was noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Great calamity again on the earth. A lot of noise anyway. And I kind of picture on earth what's going on after the silence, after relative peace, after all of this judgment that's happened, and all of a sudden they're going, oh no, it's starting again. See, there's a lot of things that happen in the seals that could be attributed to natural things, or at least attributed to mankind. You saw the four horsemen. Well, you saw the deceiver. Then you saw war. You saw famine and pestilence. Then you saw the pale rider, death. Well, all those can be, well, that's just natural things. That happens all the time through history. You have the doldrums of everything quiet, no wind. That's kind of unusual, especially for us in northern Nevada. I guess what I'm trying to say is that people can make excuses for what's going on. During these judgments, all the excuses are going to be taken away. And yet we know that they knew towards the end of the seals that they knew that it was from God because of a statement that was made. People trying to hide. They said, hide us from the wrath of him who sits on the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. So they knew that it wasn't just natural somehow. But God is getting their attention greatly now. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and the third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. It's interesting here that it mentions green grass. Last week I wasn't here because I went to Idaho and did a memorial service for my mom. We mixed her ashes with some concrete and placed it next to where we had done the same thing with my dad and a bronze plaque. That's where I was last week. But what amazed me as we were going through there, they had a great water year just like we did. I don't ever remember, I hadn't been there in 10 years, but I spent most of my childhood up there, the back of a horse, checking on cows, and I never ever remember it being that green. Everything was lush, everything was high, and everything was green. Green. Going, wow, this is the end of May. It should be starting to go away by now. But it wasn't. All the little symbols you see on the Forest Service and BLM property and stuff where they tell you the fire dangers, you know, you always see those arrows. I don't ever remember them on the low end, except in the middle of winter. Then there's usually avalanche warnings. But it was on the low end. I'm going, wow, that is just wild. We look for wildfires. We look for great devastation that direction, or forest fires, when it's pegged the other way. In August and September, when the fuel source is dried up. But this says it was green grass. This is unusual. Hitting the food supply. And we'll look at these judgments. They remind me a lot of the judgments that happen in Egypt. When you saw the Ten Commandments, if those of you who have seen Charlton Heston and doing all that sort of a thing, there's some hinky stuff about that, but the plagues were pretty accurate. You go through the book of Exodus and you see the plagues and you'll see parallels here happening. And I want you to keep that in mind because I've read a lot of different commentaries on what people think that all this stuff is. And most of the time I hear, well, these locusts and this stuff, this is really military machines, and these are Apache helicopters, and this is that, and this is the, and going, this was a wormwood, that was actually a nuclear exchange, and that sort of thing. I'm kind of going, I don't think so. They do parallel a lot of the plagues that happen in Egypt, and I know for certain that those plagues that happened weren't because of nuclear bombs or modern warfare equipment. All the plagues that happen in Egypt, those 10 plagues, were against specific gods that the Egyptians worshipped. Every one of them. If we go through these, we're also going to see where God is bringing an affront to the gods that people worship in this time. Going, well, what do you mean? The hail, fire followed, mingled with blood, and were thrown, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Are trees gods to people? Some people that hug them. And then the second angel sounded, and I went through this one last time, so I'll not spend a lot of time, but notice there is a movement in the world today, a big movement, of worshiping Mother Earth, Gaia. There's hyper-environmentalists that they've got to really be going crazy at this time. And we should be good stewards of this planet. We were supposed to manage this world. So we're not supposed to abuse it. We're not supposed to destroy it. So there is all of us should be conscious of taking care of what God has given us. But we were supposed to take care of it. It is not our God. We don't worship the creation. We worship the Creator. In verse 8 it says, the second angel sounded and something like a great mountain. Notice it says something like. Doesn't mean that it was a great mountain. Something like. A description that he's given. There was going to be things that he says specifically what they are. And then he's going to give something like to describe. A great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. Now that's coming against the water supply. A great mountain burning with fire. Probably an asteroid or something of that nature. God is able to use these sort of things. So it's like a great mountain burning. That's a great description to me of something coming out. Can you imagine what a great asteroid, even the size of a mile, would do to this planet? It'd have a lot more devastation than a nuclear exchange. But it's thrown into the sea. Well, do people worship the sea? Well, this kind of reminds me of, because it becomes blood, it kind of reminds me of that first plague. When Moses stepped out and stuck his staff into the Nile, well, they worship the Nile. Do people worship the sea? Yeah, some surfers maybe. Well, actually, the sea is pretty dependent on the sea for food sources and for transportation, and there are some that have made idols out of the ocean, out of the sea. It became like blood. That's what tips me off, that it reminds me of the same thing that was going on in Exodus chapter 7. People often will worship what they're dependent on. That's why when you see agrarian societies, people that are real dependent on agriculture and things like that, they'll worship all kinds of gods to ensure that, because they have no control over things. They have no control over the weather, so they're looking for mercy from places that they don't know. That's what Baal was all about. Fell in a third of the rivers and the springs of water. Oh, now it gets worse. Because not only is it on the ships that were destroyed, but now it's hitting the drinking water. A third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And a star just means a celestial being. It doesn't mean that Andromeda falls on the earth and consumes it or anything like that. It just means that something fell from heaven. So it really looks like an asteroid, like that great mountain. Now another fell in the heaven, burning like a torch, and fell on the third of the rivers and on the springs of water. Notice how it just falls on the water, how it just contaminates the water source. That's an interesting thing. Remember during the Gulf War crisis when CNN had the great coverage that they had, and they were showing everything that was going on and showing our smart missiles, how they could go in and they could just take out a target that they wanted without destroying everything else? Well, God's not dumber than we are. And we may have smart missiles, but he's got a smart asteroid. And he can specifically target the waters if he wants to. We are very, very dependent on water. I mean, we had a great water year this year. People are breathing a sigh of relief. What happens when you go through drought? Oh, man. That's hard stuff. But now you've got all of the plants that are burned up, the green grass, the trees, and now the water supply is contaminated. A third of it. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many died from the water because it was made bitter. Wormwood is an interesting word. I don't have that translation up there, I don't think. Oh, yeah, I do. You can try to pronounce that. It gives us our English word from this Greek word that is up there of absinthe. Have you ever heard of absinthe? It's a popular liquor in some countries, very potent. I think it has a licorice taste to it or something like that. But it's interesting that the word itself means undrinkable. How's that for truth in advertising? Licorice booze. Oh, what could be worse? The word means undrinkable. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 9:15, 23 and 25, 23 and 15, Lamentations 3:15 and 19, used that word, and it was always around great calamity. Moses talked about it. He warned that the idolatry would bring sorrow to Israel like a root-producing wormwood. Solomon warned that immorality might seem pleasant, but in the end it produces bitterness like wormwood. Proverbs 5:4. This wormwood is just kind of an opposite thing of what happened when Moses was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. They came upon the bitter waters of Meribah, and they were bitter. Couldn't drink them. Moses threw in this tree branch, and it turned sweet. This is the opposite. This is turning sweet water into bitter. We are supposed to take care of the earth. This is God's earth, and he will do with it what he wills. The EPA is going to have a hard time finding him for this. I often tell people when they accept the Lord that God is going to be changing them bit by bit. And one of the things that he did with me was he started taking away all of the old idols that I had. Things that I didn't even realize were idols. Because God is a God of love and he's a jealous God. He will not share us with anything, because anything that is a false god will eventually destroy us. And so out of love, he takes them away. It's not because he's just trying to be this cosmic killjoy. It's because he knows what it does to us. The fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. Can you imagine what this would have to do with our energy crisis? We've got a third less energy. We've got plant devastation. We've got bad water. And now we've got sunlight that is gone. and moonlight that is gone. Have you ever been inside total darkness? It is a wild thing. The moon won't give its light. Sun won't give its light. If everything is absolutely dark, you actually start losing your equilibrium. I was in a cave, and they turned off the lights. They turned them back on after about a minute because the guide said, if I left them off for longer, no one would be able to stand. You start losing your balance. Going, how does that work with blind people then? I don't know. I just know that when you're in absolute darkness, you lose direction of even what's up. I don't know what happened to your inner ear. The sun going down, it's like the judgment that happened in Egypt again, but this judgment is only going to be temporary, because by the time we get to Revelation chapter 16, the sun is going to be hotter. It's going to be brighter. It's going to intensify. Then at the end of the tribulation period, the sun and the moon again will be darkened. God is doing all this to get our attention. Remember when we started out this book? He said, blessed is he who hears, who reads, and who keeps the words of this prophecy. As I go through this, I'm going, you're kidding me. This doesn't look like anything that's blessing me. I feel yucky by the whole thing to get to the very end. But still, you're wading through a whole bunch of stuff. But it is a blessing. Blessed is he, those who hear, who read, and who keep. Because one of the things that it has got back into my mind is the importance of sharing the gospel. See, a lot of times we'll give the idea to people, well, you know, I'm going to tip you off, and when you see all these things happen, then you need to make sure, if you refuse to accept the Lord now, make sure that when you see this stuff start to happen, that you get right with God then. That's a fool's game. How do you know you're not going to be part of that one-third that gets wiped out? It's a bad thing. Well, I'm going to accept the Lord before I die. That's the same type of a deal. You might get run over by a truck. You never know. And so what it's done for me, going, well, how can this possibly be a blessing? I enjoy going through the Gospels. I enjoy talking about the love of Jesus. I do not like talking about judgment. And you know, God doesn't really care for it either, because it says judgment is his strange work. It's not part of his deal, but he has to do what he has to do to save those who he can. In other words, look at all the third of stuff that's being taken out. And we're going to find out when we get into chapter 9 that a third of the people are killed. But there's more alive than there are dead. If it would have been me, I'd have just wiped out the whole thing and saved myself all the trouble. God is trying to get people's attention. And over again. And there's going to be a lot of people saved. We've already gone through a bunch of that before, people coming out of the Great Tribulation that are being saved. But God is doing this all because he'll do whatever he can to get people saved. God is all love. That's true. God wants to see people in heaven. 1 Peter tells us that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And yet we know that doesn't happen. So he's using extreme measures. If you can't save them by love, you save them by fear. It tells us that in the book of Jude. But the judgment of God bringing people to the Lord is not nearly as effective as the love of God bringing people to the Lord. He uses his judgment even as a kindness to us. Gets our attention. I don't know what your stories are. I know what mine is. My wife was saved through love. She knew the love of Jesus and she got saved. I was a little bit different. And I was saved through fear. God had caused a series of issues in my life, got my attention, and finally I saw myself for who I really was. And I was saved by fear. But it was still the goodness of God that led me to repentance. Then a fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck. The moon, a third of the stars, so the third of them were darkened, a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because the remaining blast of the trumpet and the three angels who were about to sound. Woe, woe, woe." Some of your versions may have eagle listed there. Some have angel. It's very similar in construction in the Greek letters. And it could be either. It really doesn't matter, because angel simply means messenger, and God could use an eagle if he wanted to. Remember those creatures when we first saw in John coming into heaven in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation? One had a face like an eagle. Can you imagine some big bird crowing through the sky going, "Whoa, whoa, whoa"? It's going to get their attention. Some commentators have said, well, this is really a satellite that's named Eagle. Some have said that this is an American institution because we're symbolic of the eagle. And I'm going, boy, oh boy, you guys are really stretching this. I think it's an eagle or an angel. It's a messenger of God, that's all I know. And he's saying, whoa, 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 you've seen a lot of nasty stuff happen, but you ain't seen nothing yet. That's what he's saying. That's a hard deal. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. So we go on, and looking at this, whoa, whoa, whoa. Have you ever watched a gambler when he's losing? They're always losing, even if they win a little bit. They always lose. That's kind of what brought me, or got me to pray for Elko in the first place, was going to the Red Lion, taking my crew for breakfast buffet, and then seeing the people that are hopeless and helpless praying to the slot machine gods for mercy. And every day it was different people, but it was the same story. Just sad. So I started praying for Elko. But one of the things that I've noticed about people that are gamblers, in desperation, they'll even gamble what they don't have. Just hoping that they can break even at least. And if they break even, then they want a little more and they'll go for more. I mean, the old joke is, well, yeah, Las Vegas has been very good to me. I came down in a $10,000 car and went home in a $100,000 bus. Spiritually, people do the same thing, gambling. They'll bet on a lie because they don't want to be responsible for the choices they've made. I help my wife's family do a music festival once a year. And so at the end of it, there's the different bands and different things that gather together, and we all have supper. But there was one guy from one of the bands that he was just drunk on his lips. And somehow one of my nephews let it slip that I was a pastor. Oh, boy. You ever want to talk religion to a drunk? It's just amazing. It's like using logic on a 2-year-old. It just doesn't work. In some ways, it's like beating up a cripple in an argument. It's just not cool. And so I was just trying to be quiet and just let the guy rant. And once in a while, he'd say something, and I'd just quip back with one or two words, and that was enough. And he'd start over. But in the background, I heard one of my nephews say, you know, because there was some discussion from other folks, and I heard my nephew say, "I don't have a dog in this fight." Well, I wanted to take him aside because that's not true. Matthew 12:30 says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." See, a lot of times we will say, well, you know, I'm praying for so-and-so, he's a good person, but he's just on the fence. There is no such thing as a fence. That's something that we've made up. You're either for God or you're against God. One of the two. Well, I don't have a dog in this fight. Yes, you do. You really don't. You just don't know it, and you're trying to avoid responsibility. Then the fifth angel sounded. Let's go through this. I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit, out of it like smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair. Their teeth were like lions' teeth, and they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months, and they had a king over them, and the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in the Greek has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still more, two more woes are coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of the mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. But these three plagues... By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came from their mouths. For their power is in their mouths, their tails, and their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by the plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murderers or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Bottomless pit. Angel. Says he was given a key. So who was this character? Says it was a star, but we know that it was a personality because he was given a key. There's been lots of speculations on who this was. A lot of people are trying to put some human in there. I've seen commentators that say it was Nero, a fallen angel, an evil spirit, Satan. I even saw one commentator that said it was the Word of God. How in the world did it get... Anyway, and there was a good angel, or even Jesus himself. I scratched my head at this because the context of it, it says it was fallen. This is past tense. He's not falling. It's fallen. He's a fallen angel. So I'd say it's a bad angel of some sort. If not Satan himself, if you go down to verse 11, if it's the same character, which I think it probably is, it's Satan himself. The disturbing thing is he's given a key. See, we have cartoons and we have a culture that makes the devil the Lord of heaven. He's not, or the Lord of hell. He is not. He's going to be the chief prisoner of hell. He's not the king of the underworld. I mean, I hear people, well, I don't want to go to heaven. I'd rather go to hell and party with all my friends. I mean, that's what the devil is letting people do what they want. And going, that is not even close. He's prisoner numero uno. He is not the lord of hell. But he was given a key to it, and he opens it. Now, does he know that he's doing God's will? I doubt it. I think he's trying to cause devastation. He still thinks he can win. He knows the word, so how can he think he can win? He's supposed to be very intelligent. I've known a lot of people that were insane that were still intelligent. And he's insane. Still thinks he can beat God. He lets this out. Bottomless pit. What does that mean? Well, I put the word up there because that's kind of an interesting word. Abuso literally means no bottom. It's come to mean very deep because people have a hard time conceptualizing something without a bottom. Well, you just can't fall forever. Well, that's why some people say the bottomless means that it must be geocentric, must be in the center of the earth, because if you go to the very center of the earth, then there's no place lower. It's all up. So there is no bottom because it is the bottom. Whatever. All I know is it's where some bad stuff is. Out of the smoke, locusts came out of the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass or the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Chapter 7. They were given authority to kill, and they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. I asked people in the first service, there was two that had actually been stung by a scorpion. Oh, you were? Twice? And you're tall, so it must have counteracted, because both of these folks were short. I made a comment about that. Fun stuff, huh? Yeah, I wanted to know if somebody had been stung by a scorpion, because I didn't want to have to experience that just so I could use an illustration. So I'll let you talk to Jen. Great agony. Horrible. People want to die rather than endure the pain. But death is an escape, is a lie from the pit of hell. It doesn't work. The Bible says it's appointed a man once to die and then the judgment. So there will be a judgment. And the reason I say this is because when we talked to Daryl Scott, or he was here and he shared with us about his daughter Rachel Scott. Remember those two characters in the Columbine Massacres? Dylan Cleobode and Eric Harris? Well, Dylan Cleobode, he made this video that he gave that had it for his parents on the day of the massacre. Oh, he wasn't here. He was in Twin. We went there to see him. That's right. But he made this video, and he says, well, this is the day of our little judgment. He says, I don't like life much. I just want you to know that I'm going to a better place. I'm going, what? He said this on the day that he was going to commit mass murder? And some of the things that the news didn't tell you is they targeted Christians. They said they targeted athletes that were making fun of them and stuff like that. That was not true. That's why Daryl Scott, his daughter Rachel, was targeted. They went after the Christian club first in the library. And then there were some of the Christians were athletes, and so the press capitalized on that. But that wasn't their target. They idolized Hitler. But they said they were going to a better place. Really? On the day that you're committing mass murder, you think you're going to a better place? You've gone from the frying pan into the fire. It's just going to get worse. It's devastating to have to do a funeral where people have committed suicide. I don't know why people commit suicide. Desperation. Agony. Selfishness. But the big thing is there's a deception. I'm not saying that suicide is the unpardonable sin. I think people that commit suicide, they're out of their right mind at the time. But I am saying if people aren't right with God, that they're sealed. They're appointed once to die and then the judgment. Here people want to die and death takes a holiday. I think that was a movie title. Look at these locusts. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads was crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. Have you ever looked at a bug like that? I mean, I've examined locusts. I've examined Mormon crickets. They have that face like a grasshopper. And looked at Jerusalem crickets. They have a face like an ant. But can you imagine one of these critters with a face like a man? And looking back at you? Halfway intelligent? I mean, it'd be spooky. I thought it was interesting that it says the likeness of a locust is a horse to a horse, especially equipped with armor, is so striking that the insect in German is named Huferd, meaning hay horse. That's what they call a locust, is a hay horse. And in Italian, it's cavalier, a little horse. So they must look like horses to some people. But now these locusts have a face. And yet they're not locusts. They're demonic horde. Because Proverbs 30, verse 27 says, the locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. And yet down here, when we see in verse 11, it says, and they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit. So we know they're not normal locusts. They had hair like women's hair. Their teeth were like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of the iron. Sound of wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. Pretty descriptive. A swarm of locusts is a scary thing, and yet they eat grass. These sting people. They had tails like scorpions. Their stings were in their tail. The power was to hurt men for 5 months. They had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still more woes are coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound to the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for this hour or the day and month of the year were released to kill a third of mankind. So now death, instead of, it's back from its holiday and it's working overtime. Now the number of the army was, the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. Heard some people say, well, China has a mounted cavalry of 200 million, but I don't think it's talking about China. I don't think it's talking about humans of any kind. Because read the description. Thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, sulfur yellow, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. Unless the Chinese have been doing some interesting genetic engineering, I'd really doubt that they're on this Calvary. By these three, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and their tails, for their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. I also heard that, well, this is the army, and these are descriptions because John didn't know how to describe modern warfare machines. Well, in the context of this all, this is stuff that is coming as plagues. God has used armies before to bring judgment, but he didn't in Egypt. And also, I'm looking at this and I'm going, all of these things are something that man cannot dispute is not normal. It isn't just business as usual. This is a natural tsunami. This is a natural earthquake. This is a natural this or that. No, these are weird things. This isn't mankind killing mankind. No, this is something beyond that. The rest of mankind were not killed by these plagues. They did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons, the idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see, nor hear, nor walk. I didn't put that up there, but Psalm 135, Psalm 115 talks about those that worship idols those that can't see, those that can't walk, those that can't. It says that those that worship them become like them. 1 Corinthians 10:19 says that is an idol anything? Or what is idol worth, offered to an idol anything? Rather, the things which people sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. Idols are demonically inspired. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Verse 20 actually breaks the essence of the first four commandments. Worshiping God alone. See, the thing is, we were made in God's image. And we were made to worship God. If people will not worship God, they're still worshipers, and they will worship something. So they will worship anything that's contrary to God. Some people worship their jobs. Some people worship their kids. Some people worship their wives. Some people worship whatever. You can fill in the blanks. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immoralities or their thefts. They didn't repent. These are a violation of the last six commandments, those against mankind. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, "Know this, in the last day perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unholy, unthankful, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." It's one of the signs of the end times. "Having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." It's interesting, in our society, I have seen in my short lifetime teaching society, people, not to take personal responsibility. Let's blame someone else. Let's blame something else. Let's blame anything but us. Let's not take personal responsibility. Buy a cup of coffee at McDonald's, and if it burns you, sue them. Really? Instead, we are almost to the point where they're mandating that we worship individual rights. And they've turned some of the privileges into rights that are not. But that's where we are as a people. G.K. Chesterton, he said that the moment men begin to care more, and this is written a century ago, the moment men begin to care more for education than for religion, they begin to care more for ambition than for education. It is no longer a world in which the souls of all are equal before heaven, but a world in which the mind of each is bent on achieving unequal advantage over the other. Yeah, that's where I see us heading. Some people see education as an anchor of civilization. You know, as the best educated nation on earth at the time that gave birth to the Nazis. Some see stability and wealth. That's their anchor. That's kind of an interesting thing, too. The Marine Electric was a vessel that sank off the coast of Virginia in 1983. Killed 31 sailors. The reason that it sunk was because the anchor chain became loose and it beat against the hull and it eventually sank the ship. Their own anchor sunk the ship. And when people have an anchor that is anything but God, it can sink them. On Thursday nights, I'm going through the Gospel of Mark in Tuscarora. And we just finished up with the kingdom parables that are in Mark. The parable goes out to sow. Well, one of the soils that the seed gets planted is the soil that has weeds and thorns in it. And it's choked out by the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. When people make money the anchor of their lives, it can be their undoing. They can become its slave very easily. Very few people can handle a lot of money. It's probably why the Lord's never blessed me. I've always wanted him to test me, but never has saw him fit. They did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immoralities or their thefts, violating the last six commandments. Murders. That's without saying. Sorceries, pharmakia, translated as drugs, or their sexual immoralities or their thefts. Well, what's it going to take? The only way that this book can become a blessing, because it promises that it is if I apply it, is if I keep it. And the way that I can keep it is I want to keep as many people away from it as I possibly can. Not away from the book, but away from the judgments that are to come. Get right with God. I've been accused of being an escapist because I believe very strongly in a pre-tribulation rapture. We're not subject to God's wrath. What this book does for me is tells me you need to get right with God. You don't want to be here for all this stuff coming down. If you're an escapist, you're darn tootin' I'm an escapist. I don't want to go through this stuff. Well, maybe you'll be sealed. I'm not a Jew. Right now, I've already gone late. The point of the whole thing is, if this book is to be a blessing to you, and take it to heart. Realize that it is not just figurative speech. It is something that is going to happen on the whole earth. It's something that people need to be warned about. You don't run up your credit card bills with no thought of paying them off. You know that there's consequences for your actions. People need to know that there's consequences. But judgment is God's strange work. It's his thing that he has to do. He would much rather that we would come to him in love. We'd come to him on this side. Jesus said that he came to give life and life abundant, not to take it. So let's go for that and invite people to join us. Father, we thank you that you are a God of love, that you are love, period. And we may not understand all of the stuff, but we understand that desperate people make you do things that you really don't like. But we're thankful that you have the last say. We're thankful that you give us a glimpse of not just the good, but the bad and the ugly also. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.